Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Everybody, we welcome you in to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, Dan Canobio, keeping you updated on the world of boxing week after week. Thank you so much to everyone who tuned in last week, sent messages. One of our highest downloaded episode, one of our most watched episode with Ryan Garcia. He had a lot to say, made some headlines. You know, ESPN picked it up, boxing scene picked it up. So I appreciate that. You know, he had a lot to say. People have a lot to say about Ryan Garcia. And I try to bring you the best guests every single week. Some housekeeping notes. You can watch this show every single week on the Fubo Sports Network, as well as Pluto TV's boxing channel. You can listen to it, of course, traditional podcast streaming platforms like Spotify and iTunes. This week, we are going to air our interview with Dame Lillard, Portland Trailblazer. For now, and a big time boxing fan. We get down and dirty with Dame Lillard on how he became a boxing fan, what led him to train as a basketball player in boxing. He says he attributes a lot of his success in basketball to boxing training in the off season, his legs and his stamina and his core muscles. And of course, we talk about all the things that are going on in today's game, whether it's Canelo, whether who's the best young fighter today, the politics of the sport, women's boxing. Really, really fun interview with Dame Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers. Really excited to bring that to you guys. It's been a great stretch here on Inside Boxing Live. Once again, just can't thank you people out there enough. If you're discovering the show now, you know, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube page, CompuBox TV, where I drop a lot of videos there as well. Big guests. I have a really, really, really big guest coming on next week. I can't give it away just yet, but he is a legend. We're going back to our legend series. I know that January was going to be Legends Month, but when this legend says that he is willing, I just gave it a little bit of a hint. It's a he. I do want to get some female legends on as well. But when this legend says that he's willing to come on the show, you make room. You make room for this guy. So that's coming next week. A lot of news and notes in the boxing world. We're getting close to a George Kambosos selecting his next opponent. Doesn't look like it's going to be Devin Haney. It's looking like it's going to be Vasily Lomachenko sometime in June. Canelo has to pick an opponent. Mike Coppinger dropped a bomb last week by saying that Dimitri Bivol and Triple G could be the next two opponents. Jamal Charlo is out of the running. He's in the headlines too for all the wrong reasons, with some legal troubles. Don't want to get too much into that because I simply do not know enough about it. But let's talk about something that we do know. This upcoming boxing schedule is absolutely loaded. So I decided that I want to give you the top 10 fights on the boxing schedule. This is my top 10. I'm going to rank them. It goes by my formula is obviously the fights come first, best fights, and also big events. Feel free to debate this on the YouTube comment section. Feel free to debate this on Twitter. Hit me back with your your favorite top 10 fights coming up this year. But from now until about May 7th, when we know that Canelo is going to be fighting, we just don't know who, there is a dizzying amount of fights. It was hard to rank these. It was hard to find just 10. I had so many more, but I'm going to start at number 10. With Sebastian Fundora versus Erickson Lubin. It's going down April 9th on Showtime. April is going to be a phenomenal month. But the 154-pound division, as we know, is loaded. Castaño and Charlo, who are also on this list, are going to fight their rematch for Undisputed. So apparently Fundora and Lubin are going to want next. And I know Tim Zhu is going to fight on this card as well. And he wants next as well. So 154 is everything that's right. With boxing, Fundora's coming off of that, decent win over Sergio Garcia, where he got a little bit exposed. And of course, Erickson Lubin has rebuilt himself perfectly since that KO loss to Charlo so many years back. Lubin is, he is a definition how to move a fighter after a devastating loss early on in his career. He's banging on the door for a title shot. Love that fight at number 10. Coming in at number 9, this is a clash between England and Ireland. It's going to be a raucous. I know it's already sold out. I'm talking Lee Wood versus Mick Conlon, March 12th. This is for Lee Wood's 126-pound regular title. This is part of the WBA's consolidation of the belts. It's Mick Conlon's first title shot. He's been on the scene for a long time with Top Rank. This one went to purse bid. Conlon will be fighting on DAZN for the first time. Obviously, Lee Wood had that huge win over Zhou Kan earlier this year. They already said it's going to be sold out. It's going to be really, I mean, I think they had to separate the fans. If I'm reading that correctly, like there's going to be an Irish section and an English section. That's going to be awesome. I mean, we love a raucous crowd. We love a lively crowd, world title bout. Also, I think it's just going to be a really good fight. You know, Conlon, this is a big time step up for him. And we're going to see if Lee Wood is the goods. To rhyme there. Going to number eight, Jose Ramirez versus Jorge Pedraza. Love this fight. March 4th on regular ESPN. That's a Friday night. As we know, March 5th is going to be Roman Gonzalez and JC Martinez on DAZN. But on Friday night on ESPN, this fight got moved back because of, I think, pretty sure Pedraza got COVID. But Jose Ramirez coming off of that loss, that very close loss at 140 in an undisputed fight. Against Josh Taylor, of course, you know, he could have taken a tune-up. He could have taken maybe a gimme. No, Jose Pedraza, of course, I know maybe he's at like gatekeeper status now, but he is a very good fighter. That's going to be a war. And that's another Mexican versus Puerto Rico. Obviously, they have a long history. That's March 4th on regular ESPN. I just kind of gave away a little bit, but number seven, just to show you how many good fights are coming up, I have Roman Gonzalez versus JC Martinez at number seven. Obviously, if this was Roman Gonzalez versus Estrada 3, like we thought we were getting, it would probably be number one on my list. But Estrada got sick with COVID and couldn't recover in time. Insert JC Martinez. We just saw 2 weeks ago, Bam Rodriguez step in and win a title over Quadras. Now we're going to see if JC Martinez can go, you know, step up and wait, jump into the deep end against Roman Gonzalez. March 5th on DAZN. Obviously, Gonzalez is just a legend. Chocolatito, you know, I'm done, you know, doubting him this stage in his career. You know, threw the most punches and landed the most punches in a fight last year. Over 1,000 punches thrown, over 300 punches landed. You know, did it 2 years ago. Also did it in 2011. So Roman Gonzalez is a beast. So I expect him to win this fight. But JC Martinez has power. Is it going to be able to translate at this higher weight against Roman Gonzalez? We will see March 5th on DAZN. So great weekend, March 4th with Jose Ramirez Pedraza, then March 5th with Gonzalez versus Martinez. We're moving along here. This is my top 10 favorite fights on the boxing schedule. Tyson Fury versus Dillian White, number six. This is April 30th on ESPN pay-per-view. I'm putting an asterisk next to this one because as we record this podcast, Dillian White still has not signed on the dotted line. He's obviously posturing for more money. Fight's going to happen. Eddie Hearn, I spoke with him at the Jake Paul. He was there. The Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor press conference, and Eddie Hearn assured the entire media contingent there that Dillian White will be signing on the dotted line, but he's just posturing for more money. Tyson Fury, of course, is getting like $33 million. It's one of the biggest purse bids ever. It's going to be an ESPN pay-per-view on April 30th. Maybe they're looking at Wembley. I like this fight. I think Fury's going to win. I like it because it's something fresh. You know, Fury's going back to the UK for the first time since his comeback tour early on when he came back when he was huge after being out for a while. It's his first, you know, three of his last five fights have been against Deontay Wilder. And of course, the storyline with Dillian White. You know, do you look at him as a martyr, WBC's longest, you know, number one contender or whatever, however that goes with him getting knocked out by Povetkin and avenging that loss? I think it's going to be an awesome scene. And I also think it's going to set up a next big heavyweight fight. I like Tyson Fury to win that one. April 30th, that ends the, that's not April 30th. I think it's April 23rd. I got that wrong. Yeah, it's April 23rd. April 30th is some other big fights that are on this list. Coming in at number five, Jermell Charlo versus Brian Castaño 2, March 19th on regular Showtime. One of my three favorite fights of last year was Charlo Castaño. I love when you have a pressure fighter versus a knockout guy. Obviously, Castaño is the pressure fighter and Jermell Charlo is the knockout guy. Their first fight, there was only a 22-punch difference in landed punches. This was a really close fight. I thought Charlo lost it. I thought Castaño edged it out. Charlo brought Castaño's volume way down. You know, he was in the, I think he threw less than 600 punches. You know, this is a guy that routinely averages over 1,000 punches thrown in a fight in Castaño. But Charlo, you know, made Castaño fight his fight and still couldn't win. So I'm looking to see, can Castaño replicate his performance? Because he fought the fight of his life and didn't get his hand raised, or he did get his hand raised, but the Charlo got his hand raised too because it was a draw. Charlo can certainly improve, but Ken Castaño is part of this great, round robin at 154 pounds. You know, whoever wins this fight is going to be either fighting Tim Zhu, Erickson Lubin, or Sebastian Fundora. So I love the 154-pound division. Moving on, number four. We're getting close down to the top three. Number four, this shows you how great of a list this is, or how many great fights are coming up. Errol Spence Jr. versus your Dennis Ugas, April 16th on Showtime pay-per-view, not Fox pay-per-view. That's a nice little wrinkle. But of course, three-belt unification. It's going down at Jerry World, AT&T Stadium. Errol Spence's first fight since December 2020 when he defeated Danny Garcia. It's his first fight since the eye injury, which sidelined him, and he could not fight Manny Pacquiao. Speaking of Manny Pacquiao, your Dennis Ugas defeated and retired Manny Pacquiao. This also is what's right with boxing. Now, of course, we want to see Spence versus Crawford, but we also want to see guys get their shots. Guys climb the ladder. Your Dennis Ugas climbing the ladder. Did you have him beating Porter? Maybe, but you know, he has certainly deserves this three belt unification by beating Manny Pacquiao, who many had, you know, as the favorite in their fight last August. Of course, Spence, stylistically, I love this fight too, because Spence is a very busy fighter, throws close to 70 punches a round, which is a ton at welterweight. Ugas is more of that slickster, you know, the Cuban style, really good jab, really good defense, two southpaws going at it, three belts on the line. This could potentially get us closer to a four belt undisputed fight. The winner should fight Terrence Crawford in a perfect world. Let's go to number three, Shakur Stevenson versus Oscar Valdez, April 30th on ESPN. This is the first unification bout at 130 since 2005. We're going to get our first unified champion at 130 since 2005. Love this fight. I mean, talk about everything that's right with boxing once again. And this is like, you know, one of the top two guys in the division. Stylistically, this fight is going to be great because Stevenson is a defensive wizard, one of the best defensive fighters in all of boxing. Only gets hit with 12%, 4.7 punches per round. Valdez has that hook, his patented left hook. Will he be able to land it on Stevenson? Stevenson has not been tested so far in his career. There hasn't been anything flush to land on Shakur Stevenson in his young career, which is impressive. I do think Valdez will land something. How will Stevenson react? And as for Valdez, I tweeted something last week that he has improved defensively under Eddie Reynoso. Six fights with Reynoso, 17% his opponents are landing on him. He's down to 43 punches a round under Eddie Reynoso over six fights. Before Reynoso, he was throwing 66 punches around. He was a brawler, getting hit with 22%. That just shows you the Reynoso effect. Number two on this list of my favorite fights on the boxing schedule, it's Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano. History. How much more history can you get in this one? April 30th on DAZN, first ever women's fight to headline at Madison Square Garden in its history. We got a seven division world champion in Amanda Serrano, arguably, you know, top one or two pound for pound. You got Katie Taylor, who, you know, many have as the number one pound for pound, and the Ring Magazine does. And she is the undisputed champion at 135. She is the two-time Olympic gold medalist, has an entire country behind her in Ireland. She's going to be fighting at MSG. The crowd is going to be raucous. Jake Paul involved, Eddie Hearn involved. So much buzz for this fight. I was there at the press conference 2 weeks ago, and it felt different, felt historic. Plus, I think it's going to be a damn good fight once they get inside the ring. Amanda Serrano's a beast. Throws 77 punches around in two-minute rounds. So that's equivalent to over 100 punches thrown around. If they were doing 3 minutes, Serrano wants 3 minutes. Katie Taylor doesn't. Katie Taylor is very accurate. You know, she's going to try to get this fight fought at her pace, and Serrano's going to push the pace. Love those types of fights. And number one, can we get a drum roll, please? My favorite fight on the upcoming boxing schedule. If you just do process of elimination, you're getting Alexander Usyk and Anthony Joshua 2, the rematch. Massive three-belt rematch in the heavyweight division will dictate what's next. The winner of this fight, in theory, should fight the winner of Fury versus Dillian White. Storylines galore in this fight. You know, will Usyk replicate that performance? Will Joshua with a new trainer? He said that he won't even have a trainer. This fight isn't final yet, but it's pretty sure it's going to happen. I have a big time asterisk next to this one. But will Joshua fight like the bigger man? Will he be the Joshua that we saw pre-Klitschko, where he threw 70% of his thrown punches were power shots? Or is it going to be the guy that we've seen since the Klitschko fight, where 70% of his thrown punches are jabs? Too cautious. Why did he try to outbox Usyk in the first fight? Terrible game plan. Ended up firing his trainer because of that. So I'm curious to see if he makes it a firefight, this could be a classic. You know, he could get sparked. He could also knock out Usyk. Then we can get maybe Joshua versus Fury. Fury should beat Dillian White. I mean, I love that. That's why it's number one. I'm a big heavyweight guy. It's always going to be the top guys for me. But there it is, my top 10. I left some out there. You know, obviously Canelo, Kambosos Lomachenko, if that gets made. You know, Ennis versus Clayton. You know, Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall. Colbert versus, Gutierrez. A lot of good fights. But there it is, my top 10. Let's get right now to Dame Lillard. This upcoming interview with Dame Lillard is brought to you by the Esports Boxing Club. We finally have a new boxing video game, and it's on the way. I've seen it myself. It looks phenomenal. The graphics are dope. The career mode is insane. And the roster, every major fighter from Deontay Wilder to Tyson Fury, Canelo Alvarez, you got Terrence Crawford in there, and so many active fighters in the game, as well as past legends. How would you like to play with Muhammad Ali or Sugar Ray Leonard or Sugar Ray Robinson, the greats of the past? You can do that. The Esports Boxing Club, coming to all major consoles this year. Check them out at esportsboxingclub.com and all of their socials. All right, it's time to bring in our guest. We finally got him. He is the biggest boxing fan in the NBA. I think it's safe to say that. You know him, six-time All-Star, Dame Lillard, Portland Trail Blazers. I'm excited to talk boxing with you, Dame. First off, how's it going? So you're getting a massage right now. You got to be nice and relaxed.
I'm nice and relaxed, man. I had a surgery like 15 days ago, so I've just been doing rehab, recovering, and now I'm starting to do some massage just to break up some of the scar tissue and keep my body right. So, okay. Yeah, man. You correct in saying I'm the biggest boxing fan in the NBA, and it's probably not that close.
No, it's not close at all. And you know why I know is because you're active on Twitter, and you're not just talking about the Canelos, the Wilders, the Furies. I mean, you do talk about that too, but you're deep in the weeds. You know, you're talking about the business side of things. You're talking about the lower weight guys, Joe Clotito. So it's clear, like, your boxing credentials are there. And I know it started at an early age. What was your first recollection or your first memory of boxing? How'd you get into the sport?
Well, I think everybody had the same thing in your childhood. Everybody think that they can fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, fight break out, everybody think that, you know, they can beat up anybody or anything like that. And growing up in my neighborhood, we had a boxing gym in my neighborhood, and I only had been to it maybe once or twice. You know, and that was where I saw that it was actually a science to it. You know, it wasn't just who can throw their hands the best. It was a lot more to it than just being tough and, you know, being able to punch hard. And, you know, it wasn't something that I wanted to be committed to. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, this ain't what I thought it was. But I really enjoyed seeing how many layers it was to the science, you know, or the sweet science, so they say. And just growing up, you know, the prize fighting, Mike Tyson, Holyfield, Pernell Whitaker, you know, all those guys, and, Oscar De La Hoya, you know, the family always had the big fights on. So I was always, you know, in touch with that. And then as I got older, I started to look into it deeper myself. You know, I started to try to look into guys that weren't well known but were up and coming, and try to figure out, you know, who they were as people, and listening to the trainers and watching them train and listening to them speak and stuff like that, just so I could be like kind of following to see like who the next one was going to be. I would almost be trying to figure out like who I could see being the up and coming fighters. So that's why I'm so familiar with guys that, you know, anybody that doesn't really follow the sport would know.
Who do you think is the guy now? I mean, I know you do your research. Who's the guy up and coming that isn't in the headlines all the time that you think will be a pound for pound guy?
the guy that I think that is right now, I would say Boots Ennis.
Hell yeah.
Like, I think it's a lot of up and coming, like, young stars. Obviously, you got the ones that everybody talk about, the Shakur Stevenson, Devin Haney, Teofimo Lopez, Ryan Garcia. You know, those are the ones that everybody talks about. But I think Boots, you know, he's the one that's, like, people starting to talk about him a little more, and they starting to, you know, learn about him. But, like, the level of a fighter he is that level, you know what I'm saying? So I think he's gonna be that one that just come out, and it'll be kind of like Errol Spitz was.
Dude,
like was
exactly.
They was hearing about Errol Spitz, Aaron Floyd, and stuff like that. But nobody really knew until he went over there and knocked out Kell Brook. So
that's exactly right. I had Boots on this show, and I said, "Dude, you have the same rise, the same come up that Spence did. Like, people heard about him knocking everyone out." Had to do it the hard way because no one wanted to fight Spence because, you know, it didn't mean anything financially. It was one of those, you know, low risk, high reward type of fights. That's the same thing with Boots, but people are starting to know him now. And I took a mandatory shot for Spence to win that title. He had to go overseas to do it. You know, it's going to come to a head now with Boots where he's going to have to, you know, he was just last week on the Showtime thing. Jim Gray was like, you know, do you want a title shot? Yeah, of course I do. It's, you know, they can't avoid me forever. Soon I'll be number one. And, you know, I've talked to him too. You know, he's a little frustrated, but, you know, it that's what comes with the territory. You know this, like if you're the boogeyman, that's a great thing to be. That's a compliment. That means you are pretty much unbeatable. And I agree with you. Boots Ennis is that guy. You know, him and Virgil Ortiz are like two of the up and coming stars at welterweight. Eventually they're going to have to clash. And it's funny because Virgil Ortiz and Boots is now like the Spence Crawford. Everyone wants to see that fight, and fans are getting so upset that we're not getting Spence Crawford. Where do you stand on that? Do you still want to see it? Like, who do you favor in that fight?
I definitely want to see it. Like, but the thing is, I wanted to see it for a long time. Like, I've been following Bud. He'll tell you, I've been following Bud for a long time. Like, I've known Bud for years. And it was before he moved up to 147 and before he was, like, you know, well-known like he is. Like, I've been following him. I've been following Spence. And I think that fight has to happen. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I also understand that, like, you know, they men at the end of the day, this is how they feed their families, and they want to be compensated for what they know that fight is going to be. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. You know, I'm not surprised that that's kind of held it up. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, I think if it doesn't happen this year, and then we're getting close to it, not being at its peak in terms of their primes. I think Bud is still in his prime, despite, I think he's turning 35 next month. Errol
is Bud
still
that
young.
Old?
Yeah,
is
man.
Bud 34?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I thought Bud was like 33.
He might be 30. Maybe I'm aging him a little bit, but he's no spring chicken anymore, but he's still at the prime of his powers. We saw that against Porter. And then Errol obviously has been through hell and back, but he's fighting Ugas coming up. That's going to be for three belts. If he beats Ugas, which is no easy task, it's going to be Spence Crawford for all the belts, undisputed, if they can work that out. That's a fight that everyone wants to see. I know you like to play matchmaker too on Twitter. Give us three fights that you have to see this year besides Spence Crawford.
Three fights that we got to see besides Spence Crawford.
Yeah.
This year we have to see Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like they just got to do it. You know?
Agreed.
I would say that's one of them. I would say Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua.
You could say Spence Crawford. That's a big one.
I say that one because there's other ones that I feel like I have to see.
Some of these lightweights.
Yeah, I want to see Ryan Garcia and Tank.
Oh yeah,
because they just been going back and forth, and I feel like that's a good fight. So I said Fury, Joshua, Ryan Garcia, and Tank, and I would like to see. Hmm.
It's a lot. There's so many good options out there.
I want to make sure I ain't leaving one that I really want to see up.
Is Canelo. Canelo's rumored to be fighting a lot of different guys. You mentioned the heavyweight.
I want to see Canelo fight Boo Boo, but I'm not going to list that as my third fight. Yeah. I really think somebody need to fight him, though.
Like, I agree, man. I agree.
I people can say what they want. Like, somebody need to fight him. Like,
well, as of right now, I just checked Twitter. Andrade, according to sources, is vacating at 160, and he's going up to 168, where he's going to fight a mandatory then to become Canelo's number one contender. But as we know with Canelo, he's jumping around weight classes. I agree, man. I feel like Andrade gets the Canelo kind of clowned him after that fight. In that press conference, but
the press conference where he was like, get the fuck out.
He did crash it though. I mean, it was Canelo's night, but when you're injured, you can't say that he doesn't want it. You know, he's doing everything he possibly can to get these shots. But what do you stand on Canelo? I know, he's probably pound for pound one or two. There's like a big debate on who could beat him. Jamal Charlo is one of the names that's being thrown around. Obviously, there was like a talk of Canelo going up to cruiserweight. Who do you think is out there that can beat Canelo? Is there a style you think that's out there that can beat Canelo right now?
I'm not going to say it's a style because I think Canelo has fought every style. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's fought every kind of fighter. Yeah. I think people try to take away from what he's done because of, how he's done it or what their opinion on or mm-hmm. their opinion or view of how he's done it. And he's picking these fights and he's not fighting nobody that's a threat. But, I follow closely and I saw people saying Billy Joe Saunders is going to give him trouble. And then they were saying mm-hmm. Plant was going to give him trouble. And then, it was like Triple G can beat him and he didn't win. It wasn't a draw. And then he fought him again and I went to the fight and he beat him.
Well, so who did you think won the first fight?
I thought Triple G might have won that one.
Yeah, so did I.
I wasn't mad at a draw, but I was like, Triple G might have won this fight. Mm-hmm. But the second fight, I was like, Canelo won this fight.
Yeah, I agree there too. He stood his ground more.
Yeah, he stood his ground and he won the fight. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's a style out there. I think it's a lot of fights out there that will be good fights. I think Charlo is a good fight for Canelo. Mm-hmm. But I think those dudes that like 175, Dmitry Bivol, Better Beef, like mm-hmm. dudes like that. I feel like that's like when he gonna get pushed, I think, in those fights. But I also think like we were just talking about Boo Boo, I think like he has to give him a shot. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like those are fights where it's like their athleticism, how they can box, you know what I'm saying? Like those are good fights for him. But I think the person that I think can beat him, that if I had to put my money on it, Andre Ward.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's the fight. People always been asking Andre for it. Still, now, as he's retired.
That's my boy.
I know, and that's
I ain't
your guy.
Because he's my boy. I ain't saying it because he's my boy.
Yeah.
I think if I had to put my money on somebody, and I love Canelo too. Like, I'm mm-hmm. I'm a huge Canelo fan. Right. I think Drake can be the guy to beat him.
Do you think Dre can beat him right now?
I mean, Dre
or Dre in his prime.
Dre's not an old man.
I know he's not. I work with him at ESPN. He's not old. He's still in good fighting shape.
He's not old, but I mean, it is rushed. But I mean, he's not new to that. You know, he didn't have a few times away from the ring. He is older now. I think he would have to, get a fight or two in. But I believe in Dre, man. I think highly of Dre. Like,
of course, he's a beautiful boxing mind.
But I think it's the toughness and the will. I think it's the toughness, the will, the ring mm-hmm. IQ, the mm-hmm. experience. I think he'll have a great chance.
Yeah, stylistically, I think someone that's going to beat Canelo is someone that's going to be kind of like a Golovkin who can hit really hard, who can throw 70 plus punches around, who can jab, who can kind of like push Canelo back. Like you saw the Caleb Plant fight, like. I think Canelo knew right away, like, Plant just didn't have any power. He didn't respect anything that Plant was throwing. Dude. He was able to walk him down, like, kind of stood in front of him at times. He let him,
He wasn't worried about what was coming back.
Exactly.
That's when you're fighting Canelo.
Exactly. So the guys at 175, like Beterbiev hits like a horse. That guy's 17-0 or 18-0 with 18 knockouts. So when Canelo, I do think he'll eventually go up to 175. I think he'll sit at
only thing with Beterbiev is he does hit hard, but Canelo is a slick fighter. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like he like the speed, like he's super fast.
Right.
So I think he would have a little bit of trouble maybe hitting Canelo. Okay. And you don't know how he'll respond to Canelo hitting him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Beterbiev has hit the canvas a few times.
I don't know, man. Like, I just saw he just fought Marcus Brown.
Yeah, it was a great fight.
Yeah, and I like Marcus Brown. Like, I was hoping he would have, you know, pulled that one out somehow. But
yeah, that was a bloody fight, man. That was Beterbiev got cut over his eye, and then he started picking up the pace after he got bloody. He's up there in age too, Beterbiev. He's 35, so you know, in boxing years, and he had a really long amateur career. But yeah, I'm interested to see what goes on with Canelo. He's going to be fighting Cinco de Mayo, so he's going to have to make his mind up soon. I hope it's Charlo.
I hope he don't do that light heavy. I hope he don't go do that fight.
No, the cruiserweight.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that, man.
I know. I got a lot of heat for that, Dame, on Twitter, because I was like, dude, no one wants to see that. Like, yes, it'll be cool. He's going up. He's cherry picking. I mean, it is what it is. Like, he's cherry picking he's not the best cruiserweight, Makabu. The best cruiserweight is Maris Bredas. So Canelo's essentially going up there to pick off a belt and just to be a 5-division world champion. Yes, it'll be great, but there's so many other fights I really want to see for. Why don't you want to see that?
I mean, I respect it. I respect it because, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, that's easy because it's a fight. It's the big dude. He can get caught. You know, it's anything can happen. So I would respect it. It's just that I would prefer to see him like get in there with somebody like that's a threat to him in his weight class, like in his range, instead of him going up there to where it's like there is a risk, but like, you know, you're more than likely going to win that fight. Yeah. That's why you're doing it. You know, you ain't going to go up there and say, all right, if Usyk comes down to cruiserweight, I want to fight him. Like, you're not going to do that.
Exactly. It's calculated.
So it's like, that would be the to me, like the actual greatness in doing something like that.
I agree.
If he did something like that.
Well, Roy did it too. Roy went up to heavy and he beat John Ruiz, who at the time was not considered the heavyweight champion. But, you know, I had Roy on last week and he says no one else did that. He's all for it. Wants to see.
He's supposed to say that.
Of course he is. But then,
and like I said, I respect it because it's not like it's easy. Like, it's a tough thing to do. Like, yeah,
it is. It is. Makabu hits hard. Makabu hits really hard. That guy's big. I mean, he's not tall, but he is wide. When they did a little face off at the WBC convention, Makabu is
he's a big dude.
Yeah. Makabu, that's the big boys. Cruiserweight, that's 15 pounds from heavyweight. Yeah, I'm excited to see what Canelo's got next. All right, let's ask you your top five pound for pound.
My top five pound for pound, I'm going to go Bud Crawford.
Okay.
Number one. Mm-hmm. Canelo, number two.
Okay.
Tyson Fury, number three.
All right.
I got Spence at four and Inoue at five.
There you go. Did you got to watch Inoue fight? I know you were on Twitter. First of all, how do you like boxing Twitter? It's a pretty cutthroat avenue, right?
Well, I have the fighters that I'm a fan of that I like. When they fight, I'm cheering for them to win. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then it's just fights that I watch where I'm like, I respect these fighters. I like, you know, what they bring. Mm-hmm. And I want to see a good fight. Like, who's going to win out of these two fighters?
Right.
I think on boxing Twitter, like, the people react to everything you say about the person that they're a fan of. Right. Like, if people get on there, like when Dre beat Kovalev the first time and people were saying stuff, I was responding in a manner of like, don't talk about Dre. You know what I'm saying? Like, when they talk about, you know, somebody else that I'm just, you know, I'm a fan of the sport, they're a good fighter and they fight another good fighter, like, then I'll just reply with what I think. So I think a lot of times when I say certain stuff, people just respond like, to, you know, I'm a fan of this person and they respond as a fan.
Right, like, I hear you.
I had watched Inoue fight maybe two or three times before I posted that on there and people was going crazy. And then all I did was get on YouTube and I looked at more stuff. And then I watched his next couple fights and I was like, he is a beast, but like, I think Nonito Donaire can beat him. Like,
oh, dude, that's right.
Like the fight that their fight, like,
it was a fire fight.
Like if they fight again, I think he could.
Did you see that they're negotiating to fight again?
Like, that's what I'm saying. But yeah, it's like,
Donaire is a throwback. Him, Chocolatito, Roman Gonzalez. Like, we're not going to see the likes of those guys for a long time. Donaire almost Nonito 40. Donaire
went to San Lorenzo High School.
Oh, right. Okay.
My brother and all my cousins went there.
Okay. So you knew about Donaire for a while.
I knew he boxed, like, back then. I didn't even realize he was the same person. I didn't even realize it was him. And so my cousin was like, he went to San Lorenzo with it. I was like, dang.
Wow. He's something, man. He's still doing it, man. He had a great 2021. He won he won a title, defended it, knocked both guys out. Now he's going for all the smoke. Now he's going for Inoue, which is gonna, he's gonna do it in Japan too. I mean, that's real boxing. Best versus best. That's real boxing. I know that. Talking about real boxing, not real boxing. Everywhere I go, I'm the boxing guy. So say, yo, what is your take on Jake Paul? They always ask me. I don't got a problem with him. What's your take on Jake Paul?
I don't have a problem with him. I think that, you know, he's fighting UFC fighters, you know, but they're, at the end of the day, they're fighters. They might not be boxers, but they've competed in professional combat, you know, for a long time. And he hasn't competed in professional combat for a long time. So regardless of that, you know, the fact that he's doing away with him like he is, you know, he's knocking people out and he's looking better every time he get in the ring. I think you got to respect it, because for me, as a fan of fighting and as a person that like trains in boxing, like I don't have no real desire to get in the ring and fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have no desire to do that because I know the risk of that. You know what I'm saying? I know that it's, the hurt business is dangerous. Like, you don't get in there and play if you're not full, like 100% your heart is into that. So for him to be going into it like he is and committing to it like he is, you got to respect it. I would like to see him. I don't expect to see him fight Canelo, like, you know, he's saying. I don't actually expect him to.
I've heard rumors.
But I would like to see him, like, I would like to see him fight like some stiff boxing competition, like a fighter, you know what I mean?
Like a real boxer, even though maybe he'll have like 5-6 losses, but not an MMA guy. I know what you're saying. Like, not like a circus act, like not like a real boxer. Like Tommy Fury is not a real boxer, but I don't know.
I told Marcus Brown he should fight him.
Oh, Marcus Brown would destroy him.
I mean, but
would splatter him.
That's the weight. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I'm interested in see what he's gonna do next. Like, I don't have a problem with him. I think he brings more more positives than negatives to the sport. Brings more eyeballs. He's doing great things for Amanda Serrano, women's boxing, and now he's going after Dana White like hard.
What he's doing for Amanda Serrano is cool. Like that's what I respect the most. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not just drawing all his attention on himself and not actually fighting. He's actually fighting. Like, he's going, he's training, he's going in there and fighting. Yep. And he's also putting, you know, a female fighter on and putting her in a better position than probably any other promoter would do for her. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I respect it. And my only thing is I want to see him, like, keep fighting better competition, like actual boxers, you know, people that are specialists at stand up and throwing punches and not getting hit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think
like nothing else.
Right. I think time is running out on that. He'll have to eventually. If he keeps winning and he wants to keep making top dollar, like, he hears everyone saying, you've got to fight a boxer, you've got to fight a boxer. So, I mean, he can't be fighting MMA guys anymore. It's eventually, no one's going to, you know, the interest isn't going to be there anymore. So it's going
to
come to
people
want
to see him respond to something. Like,
exactly.
They want to see him get dropped and get up and see if he still want to do it. You know,
right.
Like,
you gotta earn the
respect.
That's
what people want to see.
Yeah, I agree there. And yeah, you're right. If he does, if the only thing he ever did was what he did for Amanda Serrano and elevating women's boxing, she's now fighting Katie Taylor. That's going to be.
Oh, she's fighting Katie Taylor?
It's not official yet, but it's looking that way. It's going to be April 30th at the Garden. That's the biggest women's fight in the history of boxing in terms of accolades, in terms of purses. I think both ladies are getting over $1 million for the first time. I mean, Jake Paul made that happen. If that's the only thing he ever does in boxing.
And that's what it's about. Both of them ladies getting over $1 million. Like, if he's bringing something to the table that's, like, making that possible, then you got to respect it.
He's going to make a ton of money, too, promoting.
A female fight that I want to see. I think that's a great fight. But I want to see
Alicia Mayer, Bumgarner.
Yeah, and Mayer.
Bro. Dude.
They need to go ahead and scrap.
Dude.
I haven't seen a female put another female out like she did in her last fight on her feet. Since Ann Wolf. Like she was out. Like, they got a fight, man.
Dude, that fight is percolating perfectly. I love women's boxing because it's not as deep as the men's division. So the top competitors have to fight. And you're right. Alicia Bumgarner, that was a outstanding knockout. Terry Harper had her frozen dead in her tracks. And I had Bumgarner on the show, and she talks that trash. And Meyer does too. They're on a crash course. I think this year is going to be one of the best years for women's boxing because we're going to get Bumgarner Mayer. We're going to get Serrano versus Taylor. We're also going to get Clarissa Shields fighting Savannah Marshall. And if I don't know if you know the backstory of that, Savannah Marshall was the only.
She beat her in the Olympics?
Before the Olympics. The Olympic trials when Shields was 17. It was the only loss.
That was the only loss she had before she won it back-to-back, right?
Right. The only loss she's ever had in boxing. Came to Savannah Marshall, yes, 17 years old, but they're on a crash course too. So that's three huge fights in women's boxing.
Savannah Marshall can fight though. I watched her two fights ago fight, and she tall, like she a big girl. Yeah. But Clarissa Shields, she's quote, good. Top dog, baby.
Yeah, she does good things for boxing, and she's going over to MMA. I'm a big fan of hers. She does good things, man. She is the real deal. I mean, she paved the way for a lot of these women that are in the sport now. You know, she took it to another level, you know, and, you know, I'm looking forward to what she's going to do next. All right, Dame, let's get you out of here. But first, this interview is being brought to you by the Esports Boxing Club. It's the newest video game. It's coming out this year for all consoles. It's got a lot of hype. The player, the gameplay is sick. They pretty much have every fighter in it. They got Ali, Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard, Joe Frazier. You got Wilder. You got Canelo in it.
Floyd,
I think they're still trying to nail down Floyd. And
Floyd, like Michael Jordan on all the NBA games back in the day. They never had Jordan on the game. Floyd
right.
Never on the game.
Floyd probably making his own
game. I
still play
Fight Night Champion, bro, on PS3.
Yeah, I know. But this game's better, man. I'm telling you. The gameplay is
sweet. I saw it.
The gameplay is really good. They got everyone in it. This game is really starting to make some noise. But I know you're going to get your copy of it, but who would you play with in the Esports Boxing Club?
I usually, when I play like boxing games, I usually do like a career mode.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they got it on there. Like
some type of career mode. You can make yourself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I would do. I always do that. Like, hopefully they got like a cool story mode, and then I'll probably do my own little career. But I saw the video of it, bro, and that was crazy. Like, that's going to be the best boxing game ever. Like, you can tell just, like, the quality of it. And they not just, like, stiff moving punches. Like, they fainting, they moving their head, they going slow. You can put weight on the front leg, back leg, pivot, all that. Like, that's, like, a real boxing game.
Yeah. Boxing world needs it. It's been a long time
graphics,
since it was
graphics was on point too.
So. Everything on point, graphics, all of the fighters. It's been a long time, but a long time coming. Boxing fans have been deprived of their video games. So now we can get career mode. Dame, you can play career mode. All right, man. I enjoyed this very much. I've been looking forward to it for a while. I know you're a big boxing guy. Appreciate the support. Boxing world, we love when you tweet boxing. Everyone freaks out when they see Dame tweeting about it. It's like you and Rosie Perez. Are the two like non-boxing?
Me and Rose, we talk boxing all the time.
Really?
Me and her talk boxing all the time. I'm like, my favorite sport obviously is basketball, but basketball and boxing is 1A and 1B.
That's awesome.
Like, that's how deep it is, bro. So that's hopefully great. Y'all send me one of those copies early, man.
Oh, PS5. They will. Once they heard I was having you on, they were a full bore, and you'll definitely be getting a copy of it. Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go. Appreciate it, my man. And speedy recovery. See you out on that court. sooner rather than later, and we'll catch up soon. Thanks, man.
Yep, let's do it again, bro.
I'm down. That interview was also brought to you by FTWR, the Fit Warrior brand, proudly serving the next generation of fighters since 2016. Check out their website at www.ftwrbrand.com to find the freshest gear in all of the fight game. I mean, a big fan of his, and just to hear from someone of that stature, you know, who loves boxing that much. I mean, this guy knows the sport. Was just like, after the Zoom interview ended, and like, obviously most of the time after I interview someone, you know, after the Zoom is over, they just say, all right, thanks, bye. And they just stop the Zoom. Me and Dame spoke for like 10, 12 more minutes about boxing. You know, he was talking, you know, dishing on his favorite fighters. The guy just eat, breathes, and sleeps boxing. So I'll have him on again for sure. Maybe around a big fight, maybe before Canelo, whatever Canelo decides, or maybe even before, you know, April 30th, which I think is the next really big date in boxing. Obviously, there's a lot of big dates as we went over our top 10 my top 10 favorite fights of the year. But that was a thrill. Dame Lillard is the man. Definitely have him on again. Like I said, next week, I got a heavy hitter, a real legend in the game. We're going to go over his entire career. We're going to go through everything with this mystery guest. I will reveal it next week on Twitter and obviously ask for your questions. I love for the listeners to be able to get involved in this podcast and ask questions to these legends. So that will always be a part of the show. Working on some big things for the show as well. Some stuff that could be coming soon in terms of content and you know, bringing the show to taking it to the next level, because it's been a great, you know, 5-6 weeks. It's been a great couple of years doing this. I love doing this show, but boxing world, like I always say, every single week is buzzing. It really is. With the news of Kambosos now potentially fighting Lomachenko in Australia, that's going to be a huge event. You know, whatever Canelo decides to do is obviously going to be a big time, whether it's Bivol, whether it's someone in the PBC. Benavidez obviously is in the news now because Samson Lefkowitz pretty much said that in order for Benavidez to fight Andrade, he has to have $7 million, which would be more than he would ask to fight Canelo. That was an interesting interview. But whoever Canelo chooses, it's going to be a big event. You know, obviously, like I highlighted with these heavyweights too, I think that the heavyweights are going to, you know, really shine this spring. Whether it's Joshua prevailing against Usyk, I think Usyk will be the favorite. Obviously, Fury is the favorite. So let's just say Fury and Usyk win. Ideally, they would fight in a four-belt unification. That would believe would be the first time ever, because I think Lennox Lewis was a three-belt unification. You can fact-check me on that. But, you know, that could be a huge fight at the end of the year, because you know that Tyson Fury is not going to fight just once. You know, Usyk's not going to fight just once. I wish they could have fought sooner, but we got rematches and we have, you know, WBC getting involved and, you know, general boxing politics getting in the way. But between those big fights and these other supplemental fights, the boxing schedule is loaded for the next couple of weeks. That is a wrap for this edition of Inside Boxing Live. We'll see you next week with a massive, massive guest. Thanks as always, everybody.